Wherever you are, in your car, whatever you are, lift your hand. Let's praise God and thank Him for His presence. That's the most important thing. We want to get into His presence and hear His voice. And He'll give us divine direction this morning. We're thankful. Father, we're thankful. We praise You. We honor You. We thank You. We open this camp meeting. It's all about You. We want to give You glory and praise and honor. And Your revelation flow through these men of God. That Your anointing can work through these men of God, and that the people of God will be blessed. At the end of this week, they'll be better off, they'll be stronger, they'll be more wiser. We thank You for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's my privilege this morning. I'm blessed as an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's my privilege, my second oldest son, Donovan Montrell, is going to minister this morning. I'm just blessed, and I got my oldest son going to minister this week, Junior Leroy Jr., and then I have my other two sons. Now, these other two fellows from different states and got different last name, but they have the same anointing and the same love for me. And so we are thankful as a team. We never preach in competition. We preach complimenting one another and have one spirit and one anointing flowing. So Montreal have a unique way of ministering this morning. I want you to pick up and pay attention and listen. We're going to have a glorious day today. Today, tonight, I'll come back tonight and minister. And there are some things I have to reveal to you. I will reveal to you. But I'm just excited. It's a peaceful week. And I really want to commend on my praises. They're doing such a tremendous job praising you, praising God in a time like this when we're in this virtue. You call it virtue, right? Yeah, you know, I didn't even know what that word means. It make me no difference, you know. But Montreal's going to come and minister the word to us. I want you to receive him as he yields to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. It's a couple things I want to say, then I'll pray and I get started. Whatever you want to call it, quarantine, pandemic, corona time, it has done some amazing things in the world, and I think in the church world, but in the world as a whole. I think it's been a tough time for some people, but yet there's been some growth and some maturity. I am one of those people that has experienced growth and maturity in this process. It is very hard, and it can be difficult to, and this is what I'm saying, it's difficult to be when you're being around other people all the time and being for other people all the time. I just speak for myself, when you live in that way, it can be very difficult to really cultivate into what God is telling you specifically. One of the things that's happened around this time, people have to, you know, the mass advertisement has ministered to us, stay at home, stay inside. It's very, very important because now you have to, we've had to sit still and let our minds work. Right. We've had to sit still and allow our souls to develop and to be cultivated. We've had to, by force, not by choice, by force. Meditation is no longer an option now. It's a fact of life. You got to meditate. Even if you ain't trying to meditate, you got to sit there because ain't nowhere to go. Right. Ain't nothing else to do. Ain't nobody else to talk to. Sometimes you're in the house with people and you ain't been in the house with them that long and forever. You don't even know what that looks like. Well, it's bringing some things out of us. Changing some things in us and developing us. So for me personally, it has done a work in my heart. It has changed me. Some things have changed on the inside of me. I've seen some things that I thought I saw before, but then when I sat still, I realized that I was moving really fast and I saw it in a blur. Right. You know, when you ride in a car, you can see things, but you see them in a blur because you're moving so fast and you're moving around. You don't really see it clear because you haven't sat still. Yeah. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so it has caused us, so I appreciate those moments. Another thing I've noticed, and I'll get back to that in a minute. Another thing I've noticed is, and I watched Apostles since the beginning of the pandemic, and I'm gonna speak from my perspective. When it first started, it is different for everybody. People not being in service, not coming to service the regular way, it's totally different. I can imagine it being very, very different for him, being so many years in ministry and doing it a certain way. And I saw at first he was adjusting. And a couple of times I really felt like he was a little aggravated with it at the beginning. I'm just going to speak for myself. But then I saw him hit a gear. And I saw him hit a gear, which I expect that gear to hit this morning. I expect that same flow. What has happened? I saw it yesterday morning. I've been seeing it the whole time, but I saw it yesterday morning specifically, and God spoke to me about it. Things are streamlined now. It's funny that we're streaming. Things are streamlined. There's no in-between anymore. There's no blockage to things going straight to the heart and straight to your house. It's in there right now. One of the things that's happened is there's been an automatic spread right now, so we don't have to wait for people to come here in this church, pick something up and take it to their house. We in there already. We in your house right now. And so now, I remember Apostle sent out a message at the beginning, and we all began to pray. Our prayer targets, he said, miracle signs and wonders going to happen in people's homes. I remember sending that out. It's going to happen right there while you sit there where you are. You're in your home, in your cubicle. If you're sitting in your car watching on your phone, right now the Spirit of God is going to touch you right where you are. We don't have to be in this building for it to happen because you are the building. So because you are the building, there's some things you got to understand. And I see it. I saw her when he prophesied yesterday. And it's streamlined. We don't have no more. You just got to let me be myself for a second. We don't have unbelievers mixed with believers. We don't have people. Some people inside that believe and some people ready to go. And now we here for it this week. Even the few people in here, we here for it. This is what we here for. We're not here out of no pressure. We're not here out of no twisting the arms. We here for this. You know what I'm saying? And so now you click the button and turn your phone on, you're here for it too. So now everything is streamlined. I pray that God does the same thing. I know he will. In this message that I preach this morning, I know he'll do the same thing. Streamline to your house, to your heart, right there in your soul, right where you are. And I believe God and I thank God for it. And so I'll say it again, just let me be myself. I've been hearing the word unique. Unique last year, Jesus said unique. Bob said unique, so I'm trying to be unique. I can't help it. I can't help but be unique because everybody's unique in their own way. And so just let me flow. I'm going to say some things this morning. I don't want to be offensive to you. And when I say let me be myself, I'm really telling you to let me be myself in your mind. Because you can't stop me here right now. Y'all can't give me no looks. Can't nobody give me no shame. Ain't nobody giving no. You can give a look, but I can't see you. So I'm not moved by any of that. So now we can flow. Allow me to be in your mind for a minute this morning, and just allow the Holy Spirit to touch you in a special way. Holy Spirit, I'm humbled. I'm just humbled. And you know we've talked already, so I'm praying for everybody that's listening. We've already had our conversations. We have our discussions. And so this moment is just for all of us. Let our minds be open, hearts be open, and humbled and submitted so that we can receive. Let it be a strong mixture of humility and confidence at the same time within the inside of us and in our soul. We thank you so much for who you are. These moments are always, always have been, always will be for you. And so we just acknowledge that we know it's for you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Apostle started talking. There's some things I'm going to say this morning, and I once again, I got to be myself. There's some things I'm going to say this morning, but I don't want to be an offense to you. Jesus called Peter an offense. He said, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. And I look up the word offense, and it means a stumbling block or something that's in my way or something that's keeping me from going or being who I'm supposed to be and where I'm supposed to be. And so I don't want to be an offense. So in your mind this morning, as you hear me, don't allow some of the things that I touch to be offensive to you. I just need you to be open. Don't allow these things to offend you because I'm not trying to touch your favorite scriptures. I'm not trying to kill your favorite rituals. I'm not trying to kill your favorite thing that you think is the most spiritual thing in the history of the world. I'm not trying to kill it, but maybe I am trying to kill it because there's no resurrection without death. And so there's some things that I have to touch. So let me start off with Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, I heard the apostle refer to this scripture yesterday, and I want to go there real quick because something jumped out to me as I was reading. Luke chapter 2. And let me get there real quick. Luke chapter 2. And y'all know how I always say, don't be, I don't need your revelation this morning because I came here to minister, so I don't need even at your house right now. I don't need you to be thinking. Just be open. And it says, verse 4, Luke chapter 2, verse 4, and it's speaking of Jesus. It said, and the child, which is important to be a child, except you be as a child. So if you become as a child, you will not enter into the kingdom of God, except you go with a childlike faith. The Holy Spirit even told me when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again, he began to speak about childhood. Being born is the most plain and open and blank template that there is, a baby, a newborn. A newborn being born again comes back to the beginning part of molding, all right, except you become a child. So watch this. And the child grew, watch this, and waxed, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to slow it down so I want to say it in a certain way, and waxed strong in spirit. Not with the spirit, not for the spirit, not with the spirit upon him. This is what I'm saying. We're going to get up on in a minute. But the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. It's right there where you at. Say in spirit, in spirit, in the spirit. It's important. And it says, watch this, filled with wisdom. That's talking about inside again. Because you don't feel something from the outside. Things have to be filled from the inside. And it says he was filled, not halfway, not filling up, but he was filled. The child now, the child, not the grown man, the child was filled with wisdom. That means there's no space for nothing else. It's full. If it's full, you ever ate before, you're full. You ain't got no room for nothing else. We are full. We are full. You can say it right now. I am full. Now, whether you believe it or not, you're full. You're full. You're full. Filled with wisdom. And then it says this, and the grace of God was upon them. Now, I wrote them down, and I wrote them down backwards, and I want to write it like I wrote it. It says, strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Both of those are kind of speaking of the inside. Then it said the grace of God was upon them. It's talking about being upon you, right? And I want to go back. It's grace of God upon you, filled with wisdom, strong in the spirit. Now, we have, as the church as a whole, we've mastered the art of the grace upon. We believe in the spirit falling on us. Yeah, we believe in coming to the room. And I'm once again, when I say these things, I have to say them like I have to say them to jolt some things, to jolt some mindsets, to jolt some understanding so that we can really see. A thing that is incomplete is not that thing at all. If it is not finished or it's not gone the whole way, it can't be the essence of what it's supposed to be. So that means I can actually take part a 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold really talking about me and my mentality with God. It's really talking about, am I finished or am I unfinished? Have I given 100%, 100-fold of me, right? Or am I still a 30-fold believer? Or still a 60-fold believer? Have I taken parts of God and left the parts that didn't favor me like I thought it should? Have I taken the things that I thought were the things to benefit me, right? And then take the other things that benefited you more? Crucifixion is difficult sometimes, but it is the gateway and the key to the supernatural working in your life. Jesus, we call him the master, don't we? We call him the master, right? Jesus, the master, had mastered the art of submission and humility. He mastered the art. Listen to me well. He mastered the art. I know we want to master everything else. We want to master worship and we want to master prayer and we want to master. No. Because if you master all those things and have not humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, God cannot use the thing that you think you mastered. Listen to me well. So let me speak. So there's a process. You know, I'm a music guy, so I make music. I listen to music. I mean, that's, so I got to speak from terms that I know. There's a term, every song that you hear, there's a process that is going through. Now, a lot of times people hear a 3-minute song. Let me break it down for a little while so I can set my heart on it. A lot of times people hear a 3 or 4 or 5 minute song and be like, oh, look at the nice little song. You don't know how long that nice little song took to make. You don't know how many days, how many hours for it to sound so smooth like you think it sounds, how much money was spent to do it. You don't know how many times you have to say the same phrase over and over again. You got to say, and you got to match the one that you did before that. All you got to do, and sometimes I'll sing a certain line, one little line, 50 times. And sometimes out of me just trying to be a perfectionist, but you got to do it to get it right so that it matches. So that it sounds like what you feel like you hear, woo, on the inside. So there's this process that songs or anything audible has to go through. You're gonna go through it this morning. You won't be heard. There's something that's got to be happening to you. So we've been heard, but we've been raw. They got what you call raw vocals. They got raw vocals. These vocals have not been touched. There's nothing on them. They hadn't been leveled or nothing. Sometimes they're too low. Sometimes they're too loud. Sometimes they top out. They distorted. There's so much stuff going on, and it can be raw. And in the raw, you can kind of see. You know, you can kind of like look at it and be like, yeah, this is gonna be a good one. But you ain't trying to play it all day long because it don't match the last master song that you heard. You know, you're playing a song and all of a sudden the volume drop. You're going to skip that song immediately just because it don't sound as loud as the last one you heard. This is what I'm trying to tell you. There's a process called mixed and mastered. Mixed and mastered. It's mixed and mastered. That means the raw, I got to speak to it because Apostle hit that thing in the morning. My mind triggered off yesterday morning. The ingredients. The raw ingredients can be there, but they must be mixed. Right? And then master. Now, don't go the other way. You can't master before you mix. You can't master before you mix. I want to explain what mixing is. Mixing is, I mean, it's simply put, it's mix. Right? It's taking what you want to mix, some whatever you're mixing, right? You're mixing, you have to mix it till it's consistent. Right? Till there's a consistent flow and a consistent pattern. The consistency of a thing, all right? So now you take, you know, you sing, you get the music, you got the guitar, you got the drums, and you got the bass guitar, and you got the piano, or whatever else you put in there, you got the vocals. Then you might just not be your vocals, might be somebody else. And so you take that and you mix it, you hit the volumes for everything. It takes a while. I know it's a 3-minute song. That 3-minute song take 3 years to make. And you get the volume. And finally, when you got the volume together, you think you're good, and when you listen to it, be like, yeah. This feels good, but it's not loud enough. It hadn't been finished. The master part of it, all right? I'm going to get to it, and we're going to go back and talk about it. The mastering part of it is now you've taken the mix, got everything to the levels that you wanted, right? And now you're taking it, you're mastering. The best way I can explain a master, and I know this may not be the best example, but y'all just going to have to bear with me. The best way I can explain a master is like the glaze on a Krispy Kreme donut. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Don't go get none. I'm not trying to accept you. In Jesus' name, I command you to stay at your house. All right, but it is the glaze, it is the finish, it is the thing that causes everything. There are some sounds and songs that you won't hear until the master, the person that masters it, hits a certain frequency in that master and make that sound come out, right? Because you don't want nothing lost in the mix. All right, so without the mastering, some things get lost in the mix. Oh, y'all listen to me for a minute. Right? But before we have any mix or master, I got to have something to work with. I got to have the ingredients. I got to have the things that make up a great song. And I'm using that for, I'm talking about you, the song that you are. The things that make who you are have to be mixed. I look up the word ingredient, Apostle, and when you hit it, I'm a word guy, so I like to, it's called etymology, and I like to go back and see where words were first used. When did they start being used in the English, in the English dialect? English is a younger language. It is not as ancient or not as original as a lot of other languages, so it was derived from a lot of other languages. So because of that, the certain words that we made up, certain words that we use, certain words that we translate and try to use a certain way. And I look up the etymology of the word ingredient. It was used in the early 1500s. And it says something forming part of a mixture, so we understand that part. But then they hit this other part, and it's Latin. They say ingredientum, and in means into, gredient means walk, right? And it says ingredients is that which enters into. When it's talking about ingredient, it's talking about walking into something. I explained it. I thought ingredients was just thing on the back of the, you know, whatever you read on the back of it. This was what it's made of. But it's talking about walking into something. The ingredients is going into something. The ingredients is being in something, right? So these are your, and they're not, I wrote this down, they're not out ingredients. Right. Wow. Said it like that for, because you don't put them on the side of the bowl. Sit them all, everything. Sit everything. Come on, get the bowl. What are you trying to make? Whatever you figure you're trying to make. Let's say a salad. You know, I already talked about donuts, so we're going to, let's say we, a salad. You got everything, and you got everything sitting on the side of it. Sitting on the side does nothing for the mixture. sitting on the side does nothing for the mixture, and it does nothing for your hunger. Right? It does nothing for what you want. It could be there. It can be there. And it can be right real close. Huh? Upon. It can be upon and around. I felt the Spirit of God upon me before. I felt the Spirit of God in the room around me before. But what is going on the inside? Because the inside is where it clicks. God is trying to move us from catching something and throwing it at people. Talking about the Spirit of God, right? To actually realizing it's clicking that it's already in you. And then you begin to deliver it. The Lord told me something. And he said, I got to talk like I talk. Let me just do it. He said, Jesus talked about deliverance. And he talked about, and people want to be delivered. And they don't understand what they're saying when they talk about being delivered. And he said this, watch it. He had to talk to me like a certain way. So y'all gotta hear me. Don't throw your scriptures at me or whatever. Don't throw all your jargon at me or whatever. Just listen to me. Then he says, Jesus didn't deliver people, he delivered people. I said, well, what you mean, Lord? Jesus didn't deliver people, he delivered people. That sounds like you, I don't know what you're saying. You're a riddle. That's how he talks sometimes. Jesus didn't deliver people, he delivered people. And I said, well, what? And then he said, watch this. He said, You have been living in a faith to be delivered from when your faith should be delivered to. I dropped you off in that circumstance for you to translate it, not for you to scream and cry for me to take you out of it. I am delivered. Come on, say it again. Say, I am delivered. Now, I'm about to change your mind with how you think about your being delivered. Now, don't think I'm delivered like I've been taken out of something, right? But I want you to see delivered as a package from FedEx, a package from UPS, a package from whoever you think you done bought something from, right? Amazon. I have delivered you to that address for you to be who you're supposed to be. Dropped you off in a poverty situation or a poverty-stricken place. We are right here in Darrow, amen. Dropped you off. I delivered you to a place to translate that place, not to keep screaming and ask God to take you out of there. Lord, I really thought you was going to use me. Lord, I'll be telling these stories like they're my story, right? Lord, I really thought you was going to use me. Then he said, son. He said, son, I'm going to do it in Darrow. Right? Why in Darrow? Yeah, you gotta be from the hood to know what we talking about. But I delivered you. I don't want to go here, but I'm gonna go here in a minute. If I walk out the front door, the Spirit of the pastor didn't hit me. I thought I knew some stuff, and I thank God for calming down. If you walk out the front door of this church, you can see an antebellum home. You can see where it is. You can see the home where there's a place where slaves used to be involved. I remember me and Leroy Jr. and Shauna, we remember coming down here driving through this way. We wouldn't drive this way because it was a long way to go home, right? But we come this way, and this was nothing but field. All these neighborhoods around here, nothing was field, sugarcane field. You can see the antebellum home. This is not something far-fetched. This is not something thousands of years ago. You can see where this was the place, right? There's a little place on the corner called, I'm not going to say his name, but a little place on the corner. And it still got slave stuff, paraphernalia and all that, right? Right? And then here's what God said. I'm going to do it in Darrow. I said, why? 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 It sounds like, what? Why? You could do it anywhere. We can move. We can move to I got to go to the side journey. We can move to wherever and get it done. We can move to this city. They got more opportunity. People are more open-minded. They're not staunching racism. Well, I would deliver you to racism. See the difference between most people and Jesus is that Jesus wants to be delivered to the situation. Take me to where he is. I woke up with it on my mind. Take me to the problem. I'm not asking you to relieve me from the problem. I'm not asking you to take the Lord. Jesus said, Lord, if you can, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, hold up, because I understand I was sent here for this. Another line Jesus says, they say, well, he said, he started talking to the disciples. He said, my heart is heavy. I'm sorrowful. I'm heavy because I know what's about to happen. He said, but what I'm going to say? Take this from me? What am I going to say? I don't want to do this no more? No. He said, no, because I was sent here for this. Sent in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Listen what I'm saying. It was delivered to, right? So I got to get back, because you won't understand that who you really are is a delivery. We rebuke it too many things.
That's true.
We're rebuking, we asking God. They say you ask, but you ask amiss. For thou hast not inquired wisely concerning this. I love that line. Right? We've been consumed with every thought. Yes, with all and everything around us, that we begin to try to use God's will and his way and his nature and his identity and his being for everything that we want. But the prayer says, he says, when you pray, Matthew 6, when you pray, pray after this manner. And I don't mean necessarily say these exact words, but this is the manner that you pray. When you pray, pray after this manner. And it starts off, it says, now we're community. Our Father. Father means it makes you equal with God. You're one with him now. They got mad with Jesus because he called God his Father. They got upset with him, right? Jesus wasn't saying he God without God, but I know I can be equal with him. I can be one with him. People scared of that. Well, you're one with God, equal with God. He's the almighty God. No. Equal with God fixes you. You realize if I start to say that I'm one with God, say it, I'm one with God. If I start to say that I'm one with God, that I'm equal with God, stop thinking the negative thing about you think you're going to have so much power, although you do have so much power, right? But the fact that the actual character of God becomes one with me.
Yeah.
So I'm no longer thinking from a negative concept. I'm fearful. I might start thinking too highly of myself. No, because if you really become one with God, you can't think. You think God got an ego?
Come on.
For what? Why should he have an ego? With who? Who is he trying to impress? You understand? I'm one with God. So my mind is one with God's mind. My being is one with God's being. My steps are one with God's steps. So as he step, I step. And my Father works, so I work too. It's Jesus' conversation. And he's saying the same conversation over and over again. So inside, everybody say inside. It's your house right now. That's where you're at, the inside. Yeah. Inside, while you're inside, get the revelation of being inside. Hebrews chapter 4, real quick, and I got to read some things, and once again, you say, I know this scripture right quick. Yeah, you know it, but you about to know it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let me deal with, Apostle dealt with our ingredients. We start talking about the ingredients. We got the ingredients, those things that are on the inside of us, right? They're not sitting by you, right? If your mentality is that they're sitting by you, you got the wrong mentality. The fruits of the Spirit. You ever heard of fruits of the Spirit? Fruits don't be added to trees. Fruits come out of the tree. The fruits of the Spirit come out of you. You don't have to pray for them. Lord, let me walk in. No, you are love. I am joy. I am peace. I am long-suffering. I am gentleness. I am saying. I am meekness. Stop back. Lord, give me some meekness. Now you're going to have to give me some meekness. No, I am meekness. I am long-suffering. Long-suffering is my identity. So it's who I am. So now I don't have to request. Even in our requests, people don't understand what prayer is. Prayer is a request and they realize that I'm already in it at the same time. I'm enveloped with all of God. I have Hebrews 4. Let us, who us, therefore fear lest the promise being left unto us, left us of entering into his rest. Everybody say rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, now we got the ingredients, right? I want to give you another ingredient story. In the beginning, God made man. He created man from the dust of the earth, right? And then he breathed. No, you know, he breathed on him, huh? He breathed on him?
No.
Oh, he didn't say, receive that. He didn't do that? No, I'm not. Don't be offended. I understand. But you got to understand me this morning. He didn't do that. Say he breathed in man. And then man became a living soul. It don't get no more ingredient. It's something entering into. It don't get no more ingredient in that. So now the breath of God, if you look at the word spirit, the etymology of the word spirit, the meaning of the word spirit is breath. It's the inspiration. It's the breath of God. There's a power in the breath of God. You know, my voice cannot be heard without breath. Everything that you, and when you hear my speech, it's breath hitting vocal cords and causing something audible. So it talks about when God said, he's talking about how powerful his breath is. I ain't talking about morning breath. He ain't talking about dragon problem. His breath is powerful. The actual essence of his life is, and then he breathes this himself into us. The ingredients. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. Now, I'm going to tell you what the gospel is in a second. The gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Who is them? I don't know who them is. I'm just not trying to be them. Did not profit them. Look at this next part. Not being. Not doing, not having, none of that. I'm talking about being. All right, be. Everybody say being. Being. Not being mixed. Being, when I see ing, that means it wasn't done or it's not will be done. It's happening all the time. It's a consistency of happening. So the mix is always happening. You don't get mixed once and then go off and go on tour. No, the mix is on. The mix is eternal. The mix is consistently happening. Not being mixed with faith where? Look at it. Not being mixed with faith in them, not on them, not around them, not with them. In them, that heard it. So that means I can hear it and not be mixed. That means I can hear, because I'm about to get to what the gospel is and what faith is for a minute. So I can hear. He said, hearing, but they don't hear. Jesus is talking about it. He said, hearing, but they don't hear. Seeing, but they don't see. He said, any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I said, well, any man have ears. Everybody got ears, right? Most people got ears, like I thought. Here, but he's talking about something else. Yeah. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So are you telling me that I could come to camp meeting and hear all these messages and not change? Yes. Are you telling me that I could be connected and not be everything God wants me to be? Yes. Not being mixed with faith where? In them that hear it. The gospel was preached. The gospel was the gospel. Good news. What's the good news? I have never, listen, this is what I'm going to listen. Listen to me well. Listen, I know we there's a lot of messages about, you know, all these different things. Listen, I want you to hear me and I want you to hear me well. The gospel says, and this is what Jesus was preaching the whole time. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's hands, a new way here. I'm showing you a new way. Watch this. You have never been separated from God. Only in your mind. Only in your mentality. Only in your function. Because how am I separated from the life that made me? How am I separated from the being that I am? It didn't say, and God sucked his breath back from man and said, you're going to get it in 2,000 years. I'll get it when Jesus comes. No, he didn't say that. The breath of God is still the breath that you breathe. But the gospel says that you have been redeemed from the curse. What's the curse? The curse is what happens to your mind when you're trying to think out without God. The curse is you eating off the tree because you're trying to be without him. And so, from then on, now I'm functioning. I've been trying to be without realizing that I am. Whew. I've been trying. So Jesus said, "What?" He starts talking to him and starts explaining to him what I do, you do. This is what's on the inside, Father. And I'll read John 17 in a minute. Lord, let them understand that we won. We skip that prayer, John 17. We skip it chronically. Right? And I'm not talking about us individually, but just in the whole, we skip. He said, Lord, Thank you for the ones that you gave me. He said, let them realize that, you and me and we won. We've never been separated, but we've been fooled and deceived. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I've been fooled and deceived from my true nature that God has intended for me for the beginning. So I've taken on all kind of other rhetorics and all kind of other ideas and all kind of different understandings. And now my faith. Everybody say faith. This is the gospel. Everybody say faith. I told you who you were, but it wasn't mixed with faith in you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That means you can hear it, but not mix it with faith. Where? Within you. Say, what faith? Faith. Well, Galatians chapter 2. Come on. Galatians chapter 2. I'm so glad right now that I ain't got to wait for nobody to turn their Bible there. Because you'll be waiting, you'll be hearing the pages turning, blah, 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 blah. And hearing the pages, now you go, I ain't got to wait right now. Galatians chapter 2, you go watch it back. I am. Who is I am? Everybody say, I am. Not nobody else. I don't preach, say, oh, look, apostle is crucified with Christ. Oh, bishop, crucified. Leroy Jr., crucified with Christ. No. You don't get no points for me being crucified with Christ. Right. You got to die. I am. Crucified and crucifixion. I know we glaze over the story. He was beaten, he was stabbed. No, it was a long time. It was a long time of suffering, of being deprived from certain things. It was a long time of going through. There's a long time of having to do something or be someone that's like, man, what is going on? I feel like I'm being deprived from all the good things that's in the world. But I'm actually delivering you from it and to it. I am crucified with Christ. That means Christ can't, Yeah, let me talk like I talk. I'm going to do it anyway. I am crucified, what? With Christ. That means Christ ain't get crucified. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I am crucified. That means if I let Christ die, and he's going to say it in a minute, he die, and I don't realize that I got to, the works that I do, we want the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and we're breaking bread and multiplying and changing the water. And die! The works that I do. People start, I don't believe Jesus that much. I love God. Just trying to get, then they got the question, well, I don't know if that message, now they're trying to find another scripture that's telling me that they ain't got to die. Yeah. Then it was done for me already. Uh-huh. So there's no crucifixion on my behalf. Now, crucifixion may not look like you getting beat and thorns on your head because we in 2020 is a different time, but there is a crucifixion for you. It's every day, daily, I take up my cross. I am crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives where? Not on me, on me, on me. Say on me, around me. With me? No. Where is he living? Yeah, if he's not in you, he ain't alive to you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, because you're in this body, right? I live by the what? Faith. And it just ain't faith. But describes what kind of faith. We got to be specific now, because faith is neither negative nor positive. You believing in a lot of stuff on a daily basis. Actually, you want to be truthful? Actually, you always walking in faith. When you sat down in that chair, you was walking in faith because you believed without questioning that that chair was going to hold you up. Right? You believing and acting all day long. But the faith of the Son of God. Who? The faith of the Son of God. Of something means it came out of that. Of. It comes out of that. So now, the life that I now live in the flesh, right? Like the life that I live in now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It don't say Jesus right there. We know who it is, right? But it don't say. It says the Son of God because it's saying Son for a reason, because Son and Father are equality. The Son is just like the Father. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So now he's the Son of God, the just like God. So now the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the just like God. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the just like God. I'm going to say it again. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the just like God. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. Say, righteousness come by law. Well, that's grace upon. So now the grace of God is falling around you and upon you. God is doing his sovereign thing, but you ain't realizing that you ain't matching with the greatness of God that's around you, because you don't know the greatness of God that is in you. So now a double-minded man is unstable in how many? All of his ways. So if I don't think that I'm one with God, but God is, it knows that he's one with me, there's a mismatch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
There's instability. Yeah. Yeah. And you can say the right words and pray the right prayers and not get the results because there's an instability inside your mind.
Yeah.
Not being mixed with faith. Now this faith right here in them that heard it.
Yeah.
So I can tell you. But if you don't make the mix, he told Timothy, Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 1. He goes down the scripture, whatever. Then he says, stir up the gift of God. Watch this. Stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. Paul's talking to him. He said, I laid my hands on you. I put my hands on you. Now, it may not be laying hands like we think right now, but he's saying, I put my hands on you. I have put my hands, my understanding, my the way that I work, I put that on you.
Yeah, yeah.
By the laying on of my hands. So stir up the gift. We may not be together right now, but stir the gift up.
Yeah, yeah.
The gift of God that is in you. Stir, mix, stir, mix, stir, mix, stir, mix, right? Stir, mix, mix it up, mix it up, mix it up. I gotta say it again, mix it up. Stir up the gift. He put his hands on us. Apostle put his hands on us. I'm not talking about lay hands on the line, but lay hands too, right? What you don't understand is when you lose, I didn't understand what was going on for years until God started showing to me. When you lay hands on me and I fall out and I lose it, right? It wasn't so much. I was receiving, yeah, but I was receiving from the inside. I'll never forget, it's clear that the scripture says the less is blessed or the better. And so, when somebody that knows who they are and has had experience with God, listen to what I'm trying to tell you, and have had moments with their oneness with God and are confident in God and God alone, comes to you who needs some confidence, who try to be confident in all the wrong things. We're confident in all other things. We struggle all day long trying to be confident in something and don't even realize that greater is he that is. So when somebody realize that greater is he that is in them, meet somebody that don't realize greater is he that is in them, when that contact comes, you lose your leg because it's a power that you ain't never felt before from the inside. It's drawing up. Spring up, oh well. Within my soul. Y'all know that song, right? Spring up, oh well, right? The well begins to spring up on the inside. The well begins to erupt, right? Now get your foot off the opening. Get your mind off the opening inside of yourself. Move all that junk out the way that doesn't match the faith of the Son of God. All these ideologies and concepts and all these things that you're taking on, that you really got it from the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And tried to ask the Lord to bless it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to take this strategy, but Lord bless it.
Yeah.
Just pour some oil on it so it can look like it's God.
Mm. Yep. Come on.
Don't work that way. Okay. Die.
Yep. Yep.
Who loved me? Life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a big statement, because I don't know if you understand what you're saying. Some people have gotten caught up with he did it for you, right? But you don't realize that whatever he did.
That's right.
I can't live by the faith of Jesus without being like Jesus. I got to humble myself. I got to say, ain't nobody good but God. Ain't nothing good but one. God, why you call me good? Ain't nobody good but one. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. It's only just because I'm doing the will of the Father. I ain't really got no will out here to be trying to do but his.
Come on.
But see, it takes some change. We're surrounded this time, these moments where we got to sit still. It has caused us to not be so busy to miss. The trick of the deception is to keep talking to you and to keep you busy and keep your mind going that you never realize, hey, something is wrong right here. Hey, this ain't like it's supposed to be. And to keep you shuffling, to keep you shuffling, to keep you shuffling. Surely you won't die. They just know you're going to be just like them. You better know he didn't say you couldn't eat from this tree, huh? And the conversation so fast, like, yeah, you get a grin and duck, and now you're moving like a serpent. And for you know it, you're on the ground moving like a serpent when you built for something else. Yes. You're taking on the faith of something else. What faith are you living by right now? Yep. If it ain't the Son of God, it's something else. And the Son of God is very plain and distinct what the faith of the Son of God is. He gave himself. Right? And then if you go read the red words, go read through the gospel, you start to see the faith of the Son of God real plain. He's not, I know it's mystery, but he's not hiding it though. Right? It's a mystery because, you know, it's, he starts saying, I got all this? What? I got all this? I got to learn this? It's a mystery. Love me and gave himself to me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. So the grace of God upon you becomes frustrated because you don't allow his being to rise up in you. It's frustrating when we don't match. It's frustrating when we can't be one. It's frustrating when I know we won, but you don't know. It is frustrating to God. I don't know how God reacts when he's frustrated. I be thinking about that sometimes. Like, he's frustrated, dude. He be like, oh, God, they done it again. When they gonna learn? Jesus, but Jesus gave me a little glimpse and he said, how long I'm gonna be with y'all? Ephesians 4 talks about, you know, the turn to Ephesians 4, so verse 15, that we may grow up into him in all things. Paul is trying to tell us and make us understand, but we've got to catch on what he's saying. That we grow up into him. We grow up in to him in all things. That means everything. That means you don't get to keep your thing that you think makes you distinct. So we've got a lot of these things that we think make us distinct, and we begin to build faulty foundations on those mentalities. Right. Trying to be different. Trying to be something else. Where you got that thought from anyway? Come on, think about that thought right now. I'm all up in your head, in your house. That thought that you think, whether you think it's good or whether it's bad, because you know both of them was on that tree, good and evil. Where's the life? The life that I now live in the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God. Those thoughts, those things that you've been building on, where did you get that from? Trace it back. Trace it back to the Father. Trace it back to Jesus. And begin to throw those things out that don't match and don't mix with the faith of God in you. There's some things that have gotten into you and they are counterfeit ingredients. If you know, we eat raw and vegan, and when we do so, we look and we start seeing the ingredients. We start seeing, well, what's this extra chemical that they didn't add in this thing? Yeah. And some of those extra little things make it taste good, but it's making it addictive at the same time. Yeah. And you don't even know it's killing you the whole time, and you think you're enjoying yourself. Right. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. There's some things that come in as counterfeit ingredients. Yeah, they come in as counterfeit ingredients. They weren't a part of the original mix.
Right.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Right? They added themselves to your mix, or you allowed them, you brought them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You brought them in. You added them to your mix. Right? And they become counterfeit ingredients that don't match the original ingredients. Right? You ever had somebody making something before and they was fixing something and then somebody added something and they wasn't supposed to add it because they thought they'd come in and they, oh, I know how to do this. And start shaking something in there. They're like, me and come on, shout out. Ah, you know where I'm going right now. We in the house, we younger, we guys, so we got to the point where we me and Leroy Jr. about 7 years apart, and me and Shana 5 years apart, so we got to the point where we was old enough to stay at home while they traveling, we staying at home. And I'm trying to say it quick. Shana, you know, cooking, and you know, she done made some white beans. You know what I'm saying? So we hungry. And this time it's just, you know, you get to dancing when you're hungry. Like, yeah, we about to go. And at the time, you know, before Donnell got, so just us three at the house. And she made the beans. She done it. They smell good and everything. She let, you know, you let beans sit there for a little while, right? And then finish cooking. So the reverend, and I'll just follow him on to the kitchen. Like, wherever he's going, I'm going over there. We said, you know what? He done seen some cooking show. So he done seen. And he said, you know what? We're going to put some barbecue in these beans. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Barbecue beans? Barbecue white beans? I ain't never seen nothing like that. And we put the barbecue sauce in the beans and we mixed it up. And Shauna was hot. Was hot. Because we had added something to her mix. She had mixed it up like she wanted, put the heat on, had it cooking the right time. And you know you can fix your mouth. You're ready like, I can't wait till these are done. Because and you know, take beans a little while to cook. And y'all done poured this barbecue sauce in my mix. Now, to this day, I don't know, Leroy Jr., you said, to this day, I swore to God that them beans was hidden. Now, I don't know if I was psyching my mind because we did it. I don't know if I liked it because my brother did it, so ain't nothing he can do bad. I don't know what it was. But to this day, them beans was hidden. If you go put barbecue in your white beans and don't taste that good, don't blame me. I was a young man. But we put something in there in the mix. Somebody messed your mix up. Right? Other things come in and get in your mix. And then it puts a bad taste in somebody's mouth. Remember now, the mastering don't come before the mixing. John chapter 14, go real quick. We'll read it real quick. And it's, I got to look at it because I'm looking at it in my John 14. I'll be highlighting stuff on my phone. John 14, and I'm just going to count. In John 14, we're going to get to 15, but just in chapter 15, I started counting like, God, dog, in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and it keeps going, 14, 15, all these different times the word in is used. But I go to John 14, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, not on him. not on him. And I'm not saying you can't believe on him too. But if you're believing on him and not in him, it don't connect. This is the break in your power. Come on, listen to me. This is the break in your power. Right? This is the break. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I keep reading on. Let me get to the one I'm getting to, so I want you to be reading on, because I read the Gospels all day long. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now watch this. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Right? We know what it is, right? Big C, comforter. We know it's the Holy Ghost, right? Right? That he may abide with you forever. Right? Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, usually we jump to verse 26, these things I have spoken to you, bear you in presence of you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name to teach you all things. And we jump on the Father, going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to send him in the book of Acts, he's going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to send him. And we jump on sending him that we don't realize that he's in you. I can't make it no more plain than verse 17. The end of it said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. On the inside. Verse 20, he says, watch this. Verse 19, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you see me. You see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 20, and then at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father and you. You in me. It's so simple. Everybody say simple. Just you in me. You in me, and then I'm going to go a little further. If that don't sound like one, I don't know what it is. You and me, I'm in you, gotta be one. You'll know that you, then he said, you should know that I'm in the Father. Okay, so Jesus, we're gonna do some algebra, right? A equals C plus B, you know, all that, right? Right? So if Jesus is in the Father, then he comes to the next part and says, and you're gonna know that you in me and I'm in you, then we all up in the Father. We one, we part of the Trinity. Y'all get what I'm saying? He just said the Holy Spirit as well. In you, right? What's the part of the Trinity? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You left somebody out. You, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? He didn't put you inside that. The Holy Spirit in you. He going to abide in you. Then I'm in the Father, you in me, I'm in you. We one. We one. Everybody say we one. We are one. I am one. I remind myself on a daily basis. When I become fearful or when I begin to question myself or I begin to question things, I'm one with God. And my oneness with God changes whatever needs to be changed and grows whatever needs to grow. I don't get good to be one with God. I don't go do my steps to go and make sure I'm good enough to be one with God. When I realize my oneness with God, it changes everything about me and my motion. Are you understanding me? We've been trying to fix habits and shortcomings. And I'm not, pray. Let's pray. 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 Come on, you want to worship your way through it. Let's worship our way through it. Come on, whatever you, come on, I'm not saying, let's do them until we understand that we are one with an almighty God. And so my oneness with God, see, we've been tricked with our identity. Because of my oneness with God, right? Heal yourself from the inside. Stop talking about that. The power of God is present to heal you. It is present right now. Yes, is it in your room? Yes, the Spirit of God in the room? Yeah, he in the room and he in the room too. Are y'all understanding me? I gotta read. John chapter 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away in me. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Don't live nowhere else. I don't want you to live next door to me. I don't want you to come around and visit me. Abide in me. And I in you. I'm going to jump because I ain't got time to go there. Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you. There ain't nowhere else for it to be. If it's laying around you, it ain't working for you.
That's right.
Are y'all listening? Right? You receive, watch this. You receive from the inside. Cool. Lord, we receive. And I have no problems. Don't be offended. I have no problems with this. But if we keep doing this, right, without realizing that it is this, I can't the way I describe it. Like, there is no hand. Lift your hands on the inside.
Come on.
Right? Lift your hands on the outside. I get it. But then I can't describe it because, but I'm on the inside lifting my hands and receiving from the inside, from that well that is already on the inside of me, that connection that I have with God, deep, deep. The spirit of man is a deep well. Way down. Out of thy belly shall flow. Rivers of living water. I didn't say the rivers of living water going to flow towards your belly. It's out of it. Listen to what I'm trying to say. Except that abide in the vine. What was it? Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So you ain't no fruit. 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 You want fruit? You want fruit? You ain't getting nothing. Ain't no fruit unless you produce it. You got to bear it. Just like you bear your cross. You got to bear the fruit too. You get it? And I can imagine the fruit coming out the end of a stem. Some pressure. And some transformation. And some change and some stretching. And it feels different. And it don't feel that comfortable. But the fruit is birthing from within. You ain't seen nobody outside taping no fruit on no trees.
That's true.
A branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide. They don't say visit. Abide in the vine. Most of our fruits are aborted. Are y'all understanding me? Most of our fruits are aborted because we visit and we don't stay. We don't take up our abode there. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So that means you're going to bring the same fruit that I bring if you abide in me. Right? Bring forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. 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 Without me, without me, without me, without Jesus says, without me, you can do zero.
Yeah. Come on.
If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them to the fire, and they'll burn because you ain't got no use. What you here for? Verse 7, if you abide in me, mm-hmm. Not abide in my principles. Listen. I got it. But the principles always lead to the person. The word was made flesh, right? So you can't leave them on the paper. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify me. Verse 40, we don't go there, but you won't come to me. If you abide in me, my person. Live in my personality. Live in who I am because it is who you are. And I in you, and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, people want to ask what they will, and they're missing the point about their abiding. If you don't abide, you're going to ask for something wrong. Your will changes when you put yourself in him. Because now his will, thy kingdom come. Chapter 17, and we'll be finished there. Chapter 17, it says, he's praying, he's talking, this prayer right before it's time, and you can pray, you can read all of them, and it's great for you, just keep reading through this, and feed. You need to feed yourself where you need to believe. Feed what you should believe. Don't feed on things that tell you separation. Don't feed on things that tell you that you're somebody else other than one with God. You have to feed your belief. So reading this, but in verse 11, he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these that are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Pretty simple. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in thy word, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. Mm-hmm. Inside, you listen to what I'm saying? And I'm going to read this verse 21 and I'll be done. And I read verse 20, neither pray I these alone, for them also shall believe on me that do the work. Verse 21, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, and he's saying it, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory that thou gave me, I have given them. The glory that you gave me, I gave them, that they may be one as we are. I in them, and thou in me, and that they be made perfect in one. If that is not the epitome of Jesus' whole lifestyle and message and everything that he was saying to us. Realize you're one. Realize your oneship. This is the master. This is the master mastering us. Turning us up to the right volume. Turning our frequency up so we got the right flow. This is a mixing master. Amen.
If I had to name this message as understanding the supernatural mix, I might overpower. I don't know what Montreal called it. I might overpower understanding the supernatural mix because the supernatural really functions from the inside. And those inner scriptures, those inner connection, those inner revelation, using the word I-N, that Montrell pointed out, is so important, because the supernatural manifests and demonstrates on the outside, but it actually comes from the inside. And I like the aspect of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are one. Our oneness with the Father is so important if you're going to function in the supernatural, because there's so much religion and rituals and routine and regulation from the outside that, and there's fear. There's fear from the outside of operating out of the ordinary. And so to really function in the supernatural, as Montrell have ministered, it has to be an inner connection in your inner man. It goes along with the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. See, your soul has to be involved, your total being. You even have to bring your physical body on the inside to function in the supernatural mix. So, you know, understanding the supernatural mix, that's powerful, man. You know, understanding how the supernatural reservoir is on the inside of you. And understand that the Holy Spirit takes your faith and mix you into another realm. That's what he was saying. I mean, it's powerful to understand that it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. You're already there. You already got it under control. So the only place the enemy can, and this is what he was saying, and we're talking about supernatural, he can kick up a lot of dust and stuff on the outside and mess with this poison, get this poison to mess with you, and this to break down and this. But you got to know you're already there. You already got the solution. You already got the answer. Are you following me? So listen at this. You know, Montrell have his own way of presenting something. Jeremiah 2. They got their ways of presenting it. But just listen at them, because they're following and they're catching on to the thing that take it to another generation. Revelation that we had to walk in. We definitely had to walk in it.